It's the Mike Wills Podcast.
Hello and welcome to an early edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. Today is April 27th, 2020. We had a very busy weekend. And busy meaning we found projects to do and we kept busy. Saturday, I don't remember what we did exactly in the morning. I think we went shopping for a few things or whatever. Yeah, I think it's what we did. And then Saturday afternoon, most of the afternoon, we split wood. I had, through several trees that have died in the past several years, I had quite the collection of wood that needed to be split. So I borrowed my father-in-law's wood splitter, and we got probably two-thirds done. Yeah, about two-thirds done, I think. Split on Saturday. We didn't run all day because we wanted to run to a park and have kind of a picnic. There's a local, it's called Seven Mile Creek. I'm sure the creek is actually 7 miles long. I don't know, never tried. a nice little county park in the area that we went to and, had pizza, I guess, basically. pizza in the park. And the park was pretty busy. The other thing we seen there, and we're like, really? Is there was a game of sand volleyball going on. Shirts off, the bikinis, the whole works. Well, maybe not bikinis, but sports bra and whatever. You kind of get the picture, I think, at that point. So, but we weren't near there. We continued on up towards kind of the back area, found a little spot to park, and we had our pizza. Drove for a little bit. Thought we did something else that Saturday, and I can't remember. But primarily after that, we kind of vegged out. And then yesterday, we kind of got the itch to get different shade in our deck. Several years ago, we had some sort of a pergola shelter, whatever you want to call it. Not a pergola. It's shade. It's a structure with shade. I thought, well, the fabric will be fine over winter. We'll just leave it. After the first snow, they go, this isn't going to survive winter. I better take it down. Ripped it, of course, in the process of taking it off because, well, it's cheap fabric. Thus, I tried to find replacements. No one ever got back to me. So I said, screw it. I'm not going to deal with this. And this year, well, last year we had no shade at all, so we barely ever use our deck. This year, we're going to be using our deck. We found one we like. It's probably a little heavier than I prefer for our deck. But I think if I go underneath there, I got to get underneath there anyway and strengthen it a little bit. If I get underneath there, maybe I'll throw another post in there right away while I'm down there and give it a little extra strength, and we should be good. Actually, I probably don't even need that. It's not that heavy. So, yep, we got that going up. That will be a really nice. It supposedly will withstand snow, or up to 2,000 pounds of snow, I think I've seen. Well, that's quite a bit of snow. So, and it's metal, so it should melt easily, and the snow should melt easily on it, and so on. So So we should be good there. I'm going to pause for coffee and then I'll be back. So just stopped at the local Caribou Coffee. Support the old Minnesota company, Minnesota Coffee Company. For obviously coffee and bagel. Interesting note on that, since I am thinking about it. You know, we've done a bunch of drive-thrus. You know, gotta support the local economy, so on. And a lot of places, I am really shocked. They take your money, they ring you up, they hand you the card back, and then the same person gives you your food. I'm like, really? You know, food prepping itself is usually very, you know, very clean. They have certain cleanliness standards they have to follow. We all know this. But it seems like some businesses get it right and some don't. One business, I gave you that scenario. They take your money, they hand you your food. And I'm not talking like it's in a bag, like a McDonald's. I'm talking like ice cream cones. I'm like, really? You have to touch that too? After you just touched my money? So, forward to today, I order from Caribou. Now, I hope they're all doing this, because this is really freaking clever. The cashier took my money, and then they put the food, coffee, and my bagel into a serving dish, I'll just call it. You know, it's like, it's kind of like those metal serving dishes you usually put in the hot water, except this doesn't have the, this is a plastic one. So they put it in that, and then she handed that to me. I'm like, that is freaking clever. She's not touching my food as much as you can when you're serving it with something like that. And I can reach in, I can grab my stuff, and not have to worry about her touching someone else's money who might be infected, and so on. The alternative of which, again, this place I got the ice cream cones from, like, okay, you had someone literally carry the ice cream over. Why couldn't they just do the, here you go? Although, then it breaks 6 foot, so. Although, they were already breaking 6 foot by putting the ice cream down. Crap, just missed my turn. Yakking too much. Not focusing. Okay, so. I just quit whip around. Back to this weekend. So we found the thing we wanted, and it was at our local Fleet Farm. I'm not sure if you have those in your area or not, but it's kind of like a Walmart, but it in respect of it has a lot of different kinds of stuff. But it's, I think I just realized, yeah. Oh well. But it's all like sporting, hardware, farm, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure quite the right equivalent, so sorry about that. But anyway, we were there. We were looking around, trying to figure out what we wanted. And my wife decided that, or we found one earlier in the day. So I thought, you know, it's not a bad price. We'll come back and pick it up. We looked at it. We thought about, my wife was looking at the other one. Said, I really want a mosquito net. I'm like, okay. Well, let's see what they got. Well, there was one that we found had netting with it, but it was kind of ugly. And then there was another one that was only $1,500. Like, holy crap. So we did find one. Looked similar to the more expensive one, but it's a little bit cheaper. and think it'll work for us. Oh, we don't have any on stock. Or this is the only one we have on stock. It's not like a grill. You say, can I have the floor model? It's much more along the lines of, oh, okay. Well, I suppose we could make you take this apart, but it'll take you an hour or more. And that's a pain in the ass to haul. And then, so and then he, under his own initiative, thank you, he looked at another store that's about an hour, well, 45 minutes away. And so, there's five in this other place. So we went and bought one, or we decided, you know, whatever. 45 minute drive. At least we have it. I thought about picking up today because I'm going right by the place on my way there, but didn't. Speed up. So we drove out there. We got that. We found some furniture we liked as well, so we grabbed that. And started putting it up last night. Got to be about 7:30 or so, so we started to put things away, hoping to get our chairs together, but they were struggling with that while I was assembling the structure. So I got the kind of the legs all assembled, and we got the old one taken apart. I just kind of threw it in the front yard for right now, and then I took apart, or I started assembling the new one. And so far, so good for putting it together. Then we got to figure out exactly where we're going to put it yet. And that's the kind of, well, I should probably do that before I get too much further down the road. But because it sucks, like I said, it's a little bit heavier, so I can't just drag it wherever I want. But then we'll screw it down to the deck so it doesn't blow away. And we should be good. So that was kind of the weekend in a summary. I didn't get to do any BE testing. It started to get late, and I had to get up early this morning because it's like 6:30 in the morning right now. Heading down to Rochester, Minnesota, down to the big Mayo Clinic to get a COVID-19 test. I'm driving down there for a 10-minute test, yes. It's about a hour and a half drive, I think. So, yeah. Take off work to go do that. And then Wednesday, they're going to stretch up my throat and do some samples and stuff with the upper endoscope going, so I get knocked out on Wednesday, so I may not even have an episode then, because I'll be probably not into it, because they completely put you out for that, which I'm perfectly happy with. Unfortunately, that means both my wife and I have to go to Mayo Clinic that day. But it's an easy drive, so anything else? Nothing. In amateur radio front, I started working on my transformer that I need for my antenna. I had it all put together, and I shared out to the group that kind of specializes in this. And they said it was good, but it could be a little bit better. And they kind of kindly suggested I rewrap it to make it better, because you'll have a little better performance and so on. I'm like, okay, I get it. that's fine. I'm happy with that. I will, I thought about unwinding it and reusing it, and I just clipped the wires last night. I didn't have time for that. So, I clipped the wires, and I haven't started winding it yet, but they gave me some suggestions how to keep it really tight, and it's kind of, I don't know how many people have done anything with electronics, but I think it's kind of like winding a, like a wire for a motor or a transformer, whatever. You got to keep it tight. The tighter it is, the better it's going to be. So they gave me some suggestions on that, because I'm not working with tiny little thin little wire like you normally would work with like a small electronic or electromagnet or small motor or whatever. This is 12 gauge wire, which is in your house typically what's used for 20 amp circuits. So it's pretty thick, heavy duty stuff. It's not just something you you just kind of quickly wind or anything. So that is going to be an adventure to get that rewound. I'm missing the rest of the hardware. I need to put it all together, but that will be that. I should be able to get the local Menards, kind of like a Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever. Then I'm missing my capacitors, which came over from China. I ordered them on eBay, but they were like $10 for 10, so figured why not. You know, sometimes a Radio Shack be nice. So what happens then is this transformer I built has three leads coming off of it. One small section or two wraps around this toroid are twisted. So you kind of twist the wires together and then you wrap around the toroid. That's where you get your transformer side stuff. And then the, hold on, drink of coffee, high quality Caribou coffee. Shout out to Jay. So what happens is you have a short length, two wraps that are twisted together and then wrapped around the toroid. That makes your transformer side. And then in total, there are 14 wraps around this toroid in a special way. At wraps 8, you go across the toroid, and then you wrap the rest of the way. So it's a challenge to wrap it anyway, but it wasn't really bad. But it's also kind of nice to have that practice for the first wind. Okay, here's what you did wrong. Here's what you can do better. And learn from it and do it again. The wire wasn't that much. I have plenty. I'm not too worried about that. So, I got that going for me. I got my wire cut for my antenna. It will be, it's 480 meters wavelengths, which is about 3 megahertz. Somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't have it all memorized. I haven't used it enough yet. So with that, and the big reason I did that is that there's two forms of this exact configuration that most people use. There is a 40 meter version, which is about 7 megahertz, I think, and then the 80 meter version. When we talk about wavelengths, for those who haven't heard of this before, when we say like 80 meters, 40 meters, that is the actual wavelength for one complete wave to be created. And I'm doing the wave like you can see it through audio. I don't know. So you can see, or you can Come on, brain. So that helped you visualize it. Of course, it translates to a certain frequency, which would be like megahertz, gigahertz. When you get the gigahertz, it's usually centimeter or millimeter wave, also known as microwaves. And this is in the HF band. You can look this up easily in the radio spectrum. You have medium frequency, which is at the lowest. I do not remember the range in that. And then you have, there's even lower, I think, than that. And that's usually mostly an audible range. And then you have HF, which is from 3 megahertz to 30 megahertz. And from 30 megahertz to 300 megahertz, what is your VHF, which is like your radio stations on your radio. Let's see here. I'm trying to rent 3 megahertz to 300 kilohertz is medium. And then I believe, as I'm thinking about it, your AM radio stations are at low frequency, if I remember the spectrum correctly, off the top of my head, in a car while driving 70 miles an hour down the road. You can look it up. It's kind of interesting. I also want to find at some point a article to a, or a place where you can kind of show the entire spectrum, because that will also point out your ionizing spectrum, which is much, 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 much higher than your radio spectrum, down to your non-ionizing, your radio frequencies, and so on. The more you learn, the more this is absolutely fascinating. So, come on, where'd my brain going? So, anyway, my antenna is an 80-meter version. The wire is about 40 meters long, or 137 feet or something like that. I cut it a little extra long. One, I have to stretch it out because it's going to be just hanging. It's not like a normal household wire. We have support every so feet, so many feet. So you got to stretch it out so it's less likely to stretch out on its own. But then once it's stretched out, you should be kind of good. It'll work. And I'll mount it up. So the back to the reason I did 80 meter. 80 meter, a lot of people are saying is, yeah, you know, it's fine, but there's a lot of nets, there's a lot of this, a lot of that going on. Like, you know what? That's fine. And how this antenna is designed, there's a very small spectrum of in the 80 meter band, I forgot, it's like only a couple hundred kilohertz, I think. But it's very focused on the a smaller portion of it, which happens to fall in the Morse code range. If you went through my technician, there's different ranges within different ranges within each of these divisions where you can only do certain types of things within that section of the band. Hope that makes it a little clearer. I guess it's going to be a long one. I haven't posted one for a while. So, and I have plenty of time to talk. I have an hour and a half. Want me to go all the whole distance? So, I built this for 80 meters. They'll give me just about every band from 40 to 10. In fact, it does give me every band from 40 to 10, I believe. So that will allow me the most flexibility as I start to learn and go out through these bands to see what I can do. That will give me the most flexibility. There's only 3 that I know of that I can't get into, which some people use. 160 meters, that's a little bit out of that scope, because that's a you know, if you were to do a half wave antenna, that is 80 meters worth of wire, 200 some feet, I'm not sure. But there's other ways you can make it as well work, where this 80 meter piece of wire I have put up, or will be putting up, I could make it a quarter wave and have really good grounding, and then make that an antenna 160 if I wanted to down the road. There's a modification you gotta do. I'm not worried about that right now. I just want to get out there. There's a 60 meter band that I don't have access to, but you know, that one is what they call channeled. So you only allow like 6 different frequencies of which you are allowed to use, and you can only do Morse code or digital on those. And I don't know how much activity is on there, so I'm not going to worry about that one right now. The only other one that I'd be missing is a 6 meter wavelength that's up in like 15 megahertz. Well, bonus to that one is it's 6 meters, or it's a 3 meter long dipole antenna, which means half of it's on the left, half of it's on the right. So it's only a 1.5 meter long wire. I've seen people make it out of copper, like copper pipe. It's only, well, 5 feet. Let's see here, 1.5 meters, 4.5, yeah, about 4.5 feet on either side. That you can put together with some copper pipe, put up on the antenna, and call it good. So that one I will probably make a separate one down the road for, pending if I have enough coax around. You know, as you start to navigate this stuff, you can kind of put together a game plan, and it all costs money. But there is usually some sort of expense that goes with it. Now, if you don't have copper pipes lying around, well, you might buy something from the local hardware store. But a 5-foot section of copper pipe is only like $10, maybe. So it's really not that much. Plus, maybe a couple additional parts that might put up to maybe $15. And you know, you're buying that to do remodels in your house anyway sometimes, so you may not even have extra laying around. Coax is unfortunately an unnecessary expense if you're building antennas. And if you have you have the good coax, and then you have the it works coax. The antenna I am using now is RG58, I think it is. If you really look at the specs, it's on my 50 watt radio. And just through the transmission, through the wire, I am losing half my power. That is why you get better coax. Now, you can never get to zero loss. Even your house wiring, you have some loss when you're transferring power through it. The point is minimizing that. And in the case of radio frequencies, the higher the radio frequency, the more it travels on the surface of the wire, not inside. So it's very important to have a good surface area for your RF, your radio frequencies, in order to get it out there more. So kind of the best of the best, if you want to call it that, is what they call hardline, which is very expensive and usually reserved for repeaters, towers, you know, things that go on towers, tall towers, and things like that. And some of those I've seen a good 4 or 5 inches in diameter. Well, you can't work with that in your house. And it's extremely stiff. So kind of what the going coax people get is there's different variants of it, but it's typically called LMR 400, or that's made by some company, which in a 100 foot run, you only lose about 1 dB of signal. So that would, what's 1 dB? About two. I think you only lose, I don't know what the percentage on that is. You don't lose much. And your antenna will more than make up for it. So my antenna, supposedly a 6 dB increase, that would put you... I think I'm going too technical now. Honestly, I'm going to finish this thought and then move on. So my antenna I have is like a 6 dB. If I lose 6 dB, I'm really only putting out what my loss is on the wire. So I might be putting out 50 watts of power. But in a good scenario, I should be putting out... I could be putting out almost 150 watts of a 6 dB increase. 3 dB is doubling it. 10 dB is multiplying by 100. It's a logarithmic increase. I think 2 is 6, I don't remember. Anyway, I'm getting too deep in the technical here. And I'm droning on and on. Back to the antenna building. It's coming together. I gotta finish getting some parts and wait for my capacitors to show up, and then testing it, tuning it. To tune it, you just gotta cut the wire. Not a big deal. You cut small sections at a time and hope you don't cut too much. And then you use your antenna analyzer, or in my case, I use a nano VNA. It's a vector network analyzer. I don't use all the functionality that it has, but you can start look at that. But it shows me where the resonant points are on the antenna, is what it does. And so I can use that, and I can do some analysis on it, see how it looks. And if I got to trim it up or something like that. So, that's coming along. I did not win Ham Radio Trash Course, which is a YouTuber, whatever. I hate that term, but he's a YouTuber. He was giving away ICOM 7300, which is the radio I want. But I didn't win, of course. So, no, we're all going to have to buy it. We'll see here. Hopefully soon I can purchase that. That covers amateur radio stuff. If you want to hear more of this amateur radio stuff, please let me know. I will absolutely dive more into it. I did do Dog Days of Podcasting last year. An entire series on amateur radio. How to get your technician license. Kind of went through the entire book. Please, go back there. I will try to remember to put out a link for that so you can listen to all those if you want. Getting your technician license is pretty easy, especially if you have any kind of basic electronics knowledge. That is your bonus on that. Second sip's better. And I could definitely talk more and more about some things that I have learned, things that are cool, things like that, without diving into too technical. I don't think I even dive overly technical, but I'm sure I'm boring, especially at 35 minutes long now. I am passing a truck now, so it might get a little noisier. Oh, the good old semis. Here's an interesting tidbit. I was just, as I was driving by this truck. So, one thing that you may or may not realize is you think of an antenna, you probably think it's omnidirectional, depending upon the exact kind of antenna it is. But a regular kind of wire antenna, you kind of think is omnidirectional. And it is. It totally is. However, and AM radio stations do this a lot. If you use multiple antennas at the right point, you can shape that radio signal to be however you want it to be. So I was, like I said, this truck kind of reminded me of this. And I didn't think about that until someone mentioned it. But a lot of these semi-trucks, you see dual antennas on. You see one on each mirror. And problem is, if you just feed to both of them at the same time, they kind of interfere with each other. They kind of zero things out. It's not really an effective antenna. If you, they call it phasing. If you set things up just right, and this gets down into deep electronics, and not really deep electronics math. It's knowing how electrically long in RF something is, and then if you feed it a certain way, you can focus, like in the case of trucks, they don't care about the sides of them. They care about down the road and behind them. So they're potentially changing that phasing so that it focuses the radio signal straight ahead of them and straight behind them. Kind of cool when you start thinking about that. And I gotta find that AM site. I was told about one time. I'll see if I can find that before I post this. There was a site that kind of talked about your AM radio stations. In Minnesota, we have one of them. Well, we have multiple, but we have one of them that was mentioned, WCCO. More than likely, some of you have probably heard WCCO 830 on your AM dial. As far as Florida sometimes, Georgia, I'm sure Canada and places too. So there's three or four big AM stations. And when I mean big AM stations, saying their reach is that far. And then you have a lot of smaller AM radio stations. Not as much power, and so on. All these smaller ones, if you start looking through this map, and I'll see, I'd really go out to see if I can find that map. I got to bookmark that. You'll start seeing weird radio patterns that will cover only a certain area. So it's no longer a circle like you see with an FM radio station. It's now targeted in one direction, typically away from the big AM radio stations. It's kind of interesting, kind of, you know, mean if you want to call it that, or unfair if you want to call it that. But I guess it's the benefit of being one of the first ones. So they're putting out tens of thousands of watts of power, some of these stations, so they can be heard almost all the way across the country. That is kind of neat once you start to kind of process that. And if you start putting into your knowledge how radio waves work at those lower frequencies, if the conditions are right, those radio waves will go up into the ionosphere, bounce down hundreds of miles away. Now, that also means there's what they call a skip zone. So, I could be talking to, let's just say Russia by way of Europe. Let's just say the radio waves are going that way. Well, it very well could be possible I completely skip Europe and go right to Russia. I'm not going to talk about details beyond that. That's just kind of gives you the idea. Russia's talking to me, Ukraine, whatever, and no one from Europe can hear me, because that's kind of how this whole skip thing works. It'll go up into the ionosphere, it'll bounce down. If you're lucky, it will bounce, especially if you hit like the ocean or something. It will bounce back up into the ionosphere, bounce down again. And sometimes people have hit, done an entire path around the entire world with a radio signal. That'd be kind of neat. I'm sure you need certain equipment and so on, but you know. So, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going 40 minutes already. I hope this is enough to make up for about 3-4 episodes I haven't done. And dude, slow the freak down. He's going at least 10-15 miles faster than I am. So, I'm going to wrap this up. Sorry for the extra long episode. I had a long drive. I need something to do besides eat and drink coffee. And maybe play radio. So, I will let you go. Please, let me know if there's any certain topics you want to know. If you want to know more about radio and how it works, I'd be more than happy to keep talking about that. I'm still learning. I can research. I can share notes. Share links to things. Whatever. Because I'm trying to build my collection up anyway. So my website is mikewills.me. I know I don't say that enough. mikewills.me. And, you can contact me on Twitter, Facebook. Those are probably the easiest. Again, the username is Mike Wills. Pretty simple. Any other ways to contact me? Those are the easiest. And I would really appreciate any kind of feedback if you have anything, or tag me in the Facebook group or whatever. I think that's sharing everything. So thank you so much for listening to this long one if you made it this far, and I will talk to you maybe tomorrow. Bye.
The intro music was Funkily Dugatitude by the late Derek K. Miller. The outro is Always Evermore by Eric Dietrich. You can contact me on most social networks with the username Mike Wills, one word. You can email me at mike@mikewills.me. You can find any show notes and my blog at mikewills.me. Thank you for listening, and come back again.